Good afternoon, 4:06 in the afternoon here on AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's Wednesday, Doug Badgett in today. And even though this is the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, we're going to be neighborly today and talk with our good friends over in Wisconsin about what is going on with the legislature and the takeover of the governor responsibilities in Wisconsin. So we have Scott Ross from OneWisconsinNow.org on. Hey, Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, but I'm wondering, how are you? And basically, Scott, my question is, you know, Wisconsin, nicest people in the world, but what is going on over there? This frankly, does not seem like Wisconsin behavior.
No, well, I mean, I think it's just, it is literally the perfect way to close out 8 years of Scott Walker. It's almost, in a sick way, the most appropriate. You know, we have an incredible power grab going on here because the Republican legislature does not accept and does not like the results of the 2018 election, in which Democrats swept all six statewide offices. They will hold all those offices for the first time since the 1980s, and that includes the U.S. Senate race as well. And they are absolutely refusing to accept those. And while Wisconsin slept last night, Republicans worked behind closed doors on schemes to essentially reject the results of the November 2018 elections.
Yeah, so to make it clear for people who don't understand what's happening or what's going on, the legislature has set forth a package of bills that basically takes away many of the important powers that had lied in the hands of the governor and the attorney general, and are putting those into the hands of the legislature because the Republicans still control the legislature.
You have that right? Absolutely 100% correct on that. But in addition to those, you know, I just want to point out that in addition to that, you know, these unprecedented and I believe unconstitutional transfers of power from one branch of government to the other, they also attacked the right to vote, specifically in terms of limiting early voting here in the state of Wisconsin.
I didn't know about that. Tell me more about that. What's going on? You mean they've tried to limit the number of people or places or the methodology? How are they limiting early voting?
Well, I'd say this. Early voting is legal in Wisconsin, and early voting is popular in Wisconsin. The evidence is clear. In the election we just had, 565,591 people early voted, and I am the one in that 565,591 because I voted on the first day we could vote, which was September 25th here in the city of Madison.
Well done.
The fact is that Republicans have time and again tried to rig the rules on voting here to give themselves an unfair partisan advantage. And now that they have lost every statewide office on the ballot, they're at it again. And I can tell you from experience, because the Republicans passed previous attacks on early voting in the state of Wisconsin, and my organization went to federal court and sued them on it to get their restrictions on early voting thrown out. And again, people responded, because when you give people the opportunity to vote in a 21st century way, they will act accordingly. Everybody's got a lot of things going on, and not everybody can go to the polls on election day in Wisconsin. And I know you cats across the river are the number one voter turnout state in America, and we are
number one,
two
baby.
And one of the reasons is because we have operated in the past with the idea that the more people vote, the better. I don't care who you vote for. My organization's nonpartisan. We have never told anybody how to vote. We will just fight like hell to make sure you have the ability to vote. And we went to court, we won, and the Republicans put in last night a 2-week cap on early voting, which essentially would cut down early voting by, somewhere in the neighborhood about, 33% of what you could have early voted. And
The new bill says that there's only 14 days of early voting. And what was it previously? It was 3 weeks, 21 days?
No, it was. You could start as early as the 25th. We started it 42 days before, I think. And in fact, I know that 43 days before the election, we were talking about early voting because Governor Scott Walker put out a video encouraging people all across the state of Wisconsin to take the opportunity to early vote. So the governor put that out, and now it remains to be seen if he is going to literally sign an end to what he claimed during the election just now, an election that he lost, It remains to be seen whether or not he goes out in a blaze of hypocrisy.
What is the current makeup of the legislature there now?
Right now it's current. Well, it 18-15 in the state Senate, controlled by the Republicans, and that will go to 19-14 after this election because the Democrats lost an additional seat. Hmm. The state assembly, I believe, is 63. Will be is like 64-35, and it will go to 63-36. Again, in Republican favor. The fact is that, you know, the evidence has shown, and there's court cases on this. You know, Wisconsin has the most gerrymandered districts in the United States of America. So, in this last election, for instance, Assembly Democrats got 54% of the votes, and you heard the numbers that I just said. They're going to have 36 of the 99 seats in the state assembly.
It looked like there was an all night debate on if these bills should be sent to the governor or not, which tells me that with those kinds of majorities, 18-15 in the Senate and 64-35 in the House, that there were Republicans that weren't comfortable going along with this.
Yeah, I mean, no, there was bipartisan opposition. I will say that there were Republicans who voted against some of these really, really important measures. Not enough, but some did.
What's the cost that you think those Republicans are going to pay? Like, I'm not trying to minimize the damage that this is going to do for the next few years, but does this feel like to the voting population there in Wisconsin that this is the kind of thing that will have consequence?
I mean, I think that's going to have legal consequence, that's for sure, because they have, you know, as far as early voting goes, they have literally thumbed their noses at a decision by a federal judge's order. Politically, you know, it remains to be seen. You know, one of the things, you know, we have a list of lessons that we've learned here, and one lesson that we know is that anger wanes. You know, so what's going to matter is whether or not there's a way for people to keep this conversation going. You know, that's one of those things of we as a people, we sort of get sidetracked from time to time by shiny balls and you know, this cat video I saw. But the fact is that if people can keep focused, if people can keep, you know, keep their eyes on what is a really, really important thing. I mean, when you talk about the right to vote, you're not talking about small potatoes here. This is essentially what it means to be an American. You know, the right to vote. You know, and the idea is that when you go into the voting booth on election day, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how much you make, it doesn't matter, you know, your ethnicity, it doesn't matter your gender. That is the day when everybody's vote is equal. Here in Wisconsin, a gang of Republican thugs in the state capitol thinks their vote, their 80-some votes, are more important than the 2.6 million people who went to the polls, a majority of them voting against the Republicans.
Now, I understand the consequence of the early voting. What are the other pieces of legislation that they've passed? Now, and granted, have sent to Governor Walker to sign as a lame duck governor, and I'm assuming he's going to, but I would imagine there's still some chance for some pressure on him over the next 10 days to keep him from signing those bills. What's the makeup of some of the other bills that they've passed that have moved power away from the governor and away from the attorney general and into the legislature?
Sure. I'd be happy to help walk through those. So they have limited the governor-elect, the power to block rules that are written to implement state laws. You know, the administration has given some leeway in terms of the way that they implement state laws. They're taking away that power from Governor-elect Evers, a power that Scott Walker used repeatedly over and over again. And, in fact, the Republicans expanded it while Governor Walker was the Republican governor. The new governor will have to report if he pardons anyone or or his aides release anybody early from prison. He would have to get permission from the legislature before asking the federal government to make any changes to programs that are jointly run by state and federal governments. For instance, we have a way. And this may happen in Minnesota, where you apply for a waiver. You know, in Wisconsin, we applied for a waiver for a program called Badger Care, which is the way they administer Medicaid in the state of Wisconsin, and they have to apply for a waiver to make sure that continues. It's been incredibly popular until Governor Walker was always expanded to make sure that people had access to affordable health care access to, you know, less expensive care if they don't have the means. Those are things that the governor has been able to make the decision on, you know, for time immemorial here in the state of Wisconsin. They have stripped that that right away from the new Democratic governor.
Wow.
Those are the big things related to Governor-elect Evers. There are some things they've done in terms of the appointment, his ability to appoint people in his cabinet, the Economic Development Agency. Scott Walker privatized our Commerce Department. Now that Scott Walker won't be in charge of it, in charge of the executive branch, the legislature wants to have more say over what this agency does, an agency that an analysis we did back in 2015 showed that 60% of the money that was doled out, $700 million, went to people who had donated money to Scott Walker's political campaigns.
How do you like that? That's Scott Ross from OneWisconsinNow.org. Scott, can you hold on? We're going to go into a break, and then we come back. I want to chat with you a little bit about this.
Sounds good.
And folks, over the break here, if you're wondering, take a look at this website, OneWisconsinNow.org. It's fantastic, quite inspiring. So we'll be back with Scott Ross here from One Wisconsin Now after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
They're just sitting around waiting for my life to begin while it was out.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Mensa inviting you to listen to a fabulous new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We feature songwriter Dan Israel, who's just returned from a five-week tour of Germany. Hear about his tales from the road. We're going to listen to some new songs off his record, You Are Free, as well. Saturday night at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, and follow me at paulmensa.com.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Toyota-thon is on. Head to Rudy Luther Toyota and check out the great deals. Rudy Luther has huge model and year-end incentives, but it's the continued service which will make you a loyal Luther customer. Get 2 years maintenance-free with every new Toyota purchased performed in one of the largest volume service departments in the country. And they'll never sell you a service you don't need. Plus, the Luther Vantage Card gets you great discounts at holiday. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com for all the Toyota-thon deals. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169, right in Golden Valley.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hey, Minnesota, this is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weeknights at 9 for an in-depth look at politics and current events on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
In the the process of planning your next event? Consider D'Amico Catering. Their team brings extensive experience and knowledge to the table to ensure that your event runs smoothly. With over 20 years of event planning and culinary experience, D'Amico has established their reputation as the Twin Cities' premier caterer. They've been trusted to carry out numerous weddings, corporate functions, and nonprofit fundraisers. D'Amico has the right staff to ensure your event is perfectly executed every time. More at D'AmicoCatering.com.
Hey, welcome back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett in today, talking with Scott Ross about what's going on over in Wisconsin. Scott, there's been a lot of big political news out of Wisconsin. Of course, the defeat of Scott Walker, which just meant a lot to a lot of us nationally. I know people thinking around the country because Scott Walker just represented so many of the policies and issues and tone that feels like it's so contrary to a progressive idea and mentality. And seeing it, the Scott Walker's success in Wisconsin has actually been so confusing, right? Because Wisconsin has this sense of like this common sense progressivism. And to see the success of Scott Walker with what is often such a punitive and narrow-minded view of politics and of people and of the government, it's been a little hard to reconcile. So I'm sure as someone like you who does your work there and knows these issues well, it must have been confusing for you over these years too to wonder why Scott Walker could not only win elections, but then win when his, you know, elections when he was challenged, and then still, I think he won three different elections or something in the state of Wisconsin. It must have felt good, first of all, for this on November 8th or November 6th, but it also must have felt really relieving just to know that the people of the state of Wisconsin came out the way that they did in the in this midterm election.
Sorry, what I'd say is this. You know, Walker, I mean, Scott Walker is likely the longest-serving elected Gen Xer in America. He was first elected to office. I mean, the guy ran for state office twice before he could legally rent a car.
Is that right?
He ran the first time in 1990 for state assembly, and our current U.S. representative out of Milwaukee, Gwen Moore, actually walloped him in that race. A couple years later, then he moved to a more Republican area down in Milwaukee County and ran for assembly. That started 25 years of consistent, consistent victory on the part of elections. Save for, you know, and I think this is where, like, you know, when you've been in, you know, it's like that whole thing of a frog in water. If you throw a frog into a thing of hot water, it's going to jump around. But if you put it in and you slowly turn the heat up, it forgets, you know, the senses that tell you that you've been sitting in hot water. And I think that's what happened in the state of Wisconsin, because Walker was able to do anything he wanted for so long.
Yeah, just crazy.
But the first time he popped his head up to do a presidential race and people actually looked at him, you know, remember his presidential race lasted 71 days.
I do remember, yeah.
Which
yeah.
was astonishing given, you know, he immediately entered the race as a front runner and was one of those people who was rather early on dispatched despite an incredible amount of money that the guys raised. I mean, listen, this guy's raised and spent just in his governor's races over $100 million here in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
But I think that's where it started to – that's where the last lingering shine, at least in terms of, you know, people getting motivated to say, wait a second, we need to change, happened. Because, you know, Governor Walker has been able to get anything he wants from the Republican legislature.
Yeah, sure has. Yeah.
And despite that fact, wages are stagnant. More people have less health care. Our student loan debt, we've, you know, gone into the top 10 for percent of graduates with student loan debt. Just sort of, you know, and really a lot of, you know, the fouling of our body politic along with our clean air and water are a lot of what people decided, you know what, they had had enough. They went out. They were motivated. I would say, you know, Trump probably was a big factor in getting some of those folks, because, you know, Scott Walker stood with Donald Trump every step of the way, including, a rally in the middle of the heart of Wisconsin. Right. You know, again, people went to the polls in record numbers. It was record it was a record non-presidential election turnout, and they turned out and voted for Democrats. And the Republicans in the legislature responded by taking away the rights of the people, by taking away their will and by taking away, you know, the ability of their elected officials to be able to.
Yeah, and,
serve
I've got to tell you, I mean, hearing your
Walker has been able to.
Yeah, Scott, thanks for that, because hearing your description of what they of what powers were moved from the governorship to the state assembly, it hardly seems like it's worth it. Like that's the other part that just seems crazy to me, is they're getting all this national attention. We're talking about it now. It's going to rile up people that feel like the whole point of this is simply to nullify the impact of voting for a different governor, that the Republicans would do something like this. And what they get out of it are these like small-minded strategic advantages when it comes to changing some legislation or something else. It seems like it was just trying to make a point. And I don't know if you feel this way or if you feel like, no, there's more actual real life implication of the result of this, but it just feels like it's Republicans acting the way they often do in loss. And that is somehow wanting to blame the voters or blame the system or do something in the last minute to shift the focus away from the fact that their ideas are less attractive to the people of their state.
Well, I think what's most troubling, and I, you know, I mean, this is something we've not seen here in the state of Wisconsin, and rarely has it been seen around the country, because one of the most sacred traditions of democratic governance, and I don't mean party democratic, I mean the concept of democracy, is that after an election happens and after the people have their say, there is a peaceful and orderly transition of power.
That's right.
Certainly happened with Governor Walker. You know, Governor Doyle, the Democratic governor who did not run for re-election in 2010, and Governor Walker then subsequently won that seat, beating a Democratic candidate. You know, Governor Doyle stopped making appointments at Governor Walker's, at Governor-elect Walker's request. Governor Walker was very clear that he didn't want high-speed rail. So Governor Doyle, rather than allowing a program to go on that Walker was going to get rid of, stopped that project from happening, which is one of the reasons why I can't, you know, take a take a train to come see you up in Minnesota. Yeah. But again, time and time again, the Republicans have now taken what was, you know, what was understood to be the way in which you do things. Right? Political campaigns can be divisive. You need to get 50% plus one, and you break off enough pieces to get there. But governance is supposed to be about bringing people together, and that is what has been missing with Scott Walker throughout his tenure, and now, you know, we're seeing this final coda. The ball is in his court. That's a simple.
Is there
fact.
Any
the ball
chance
is in his court?
Do you
they've
feel
not only
all
taken away they've authority from the governor, they've also taken massive authority away from the Attorney General's office.
Yeah. Is there any chance, are you sensing anything that Scott Walker is going to come to some sort of a precipice and say he doesn't want his reputation? I don't want to call it a legacy, but he doesn't want his reputation to be impacted by signing this lame duck legislation. Is there any chance this pressure?
Well, I think what would be interesting is this. Governor Walker flew the state plane out to pay his respects to the late President Bush.
Of course he did.
And I think the hallmark of a lot of that, the discussions that's been going on that, as the country reflects, is that, you know, that was sort of a different time for Republicans. It wasn't as, you know, they weren't as polarizing, they weren't as extreme. And perhaps seeing that up close and the way in which Republicans and Democrats were celebrating the life of President Bush, maybe Walker will come to his senses, do some reflecting. You know, he pretends he's a man of faith. Maybe it's time to ask your higher power, is this what you're put on earth to do?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's Scott Ross. Scott, thanks for all your good work over at One Wisconsin Now. I appreciate you being on today, and keep up the pressure. It means a lot to all of us.
Thank you so much. Make sure you say hi to my friends at Alliance for a Better Minnesota.
Hey, there you go. We'll say hello, Alliance for a Better Minnesota, from Scott Ross. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be back after the break.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for over 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations. Seward Co-op stores are committed to local producers and food you can feel good about serving your family and guests. Pre-order your holiday meal from Seward, local free-range Ferndale turkeys, handcrafted traditional vegetarian, vegan, and made without gluten sides, perfect for everyone at your holiday gathering. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store at 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week we talk about refi rejects, why so many people are getting turned down for refinances, the rebranding of the CFPB, is it really necessary, and the issues with DACA and why lenders aren't lending.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for a slight chance of snow tonight with a low around 11. Thursday partly sunny with a high near 16. Friday sunny with a high around 19. And Saturday sunny with a high around 21.
The Nicollet Island Inn is celebrating the Feast of St. Nick December 6th to the 9th with a four-course special menu. Two for $89. The Christmas charm at the inn is tasty and beautiful. Don't miss this holiday experience. Make a reservation today with Open Table or go to nicoletislandinn.com.
Welcome back, AM 950 with Doug Padgett at 4:34 on this fine day. Boy, Brett, that was an interesting conversation with Scott Ross about what's going on over there in Wisconsin. I mean, really, I know sometimes it's easy to pick on Republicans when they do, you know, dumbassery like this, but it really is surprising the level to which the Republicans across the country in North Carolina, they're doing it in Michigan, the same thing that Scott Ross was describing happening in Wisconsin, and they're gearing up to do this kind of thing in states around the country. It's amazing the level to which Republicans in state legislatures and at the federal level are willing to do things that people can't stand. And the payoff is so low. The payoff is so little. There just seems to be a real lack of vision. And maybe it's because of Trumpism, or maybe it's just because the general Republican conservative idea has run out of fuel, that there's no compelling idea behind it any longer. But I'll tell you, I've never seen anything quite like the way that Republicans are behaving nationally and in states that is as short-sighted and as self-damaging as the stuff like what Scott Ross was just saying they're doing there in Wisconsin, where they're taking powers away from the governor, which is the headline, which is the whole story. And the payoff they get out of it is, I don't know, like a shortened early voting and some kind of blocking rules on state laws. It doesn't really make much sense to me. Brad, do you have any thoughts on what's going on with Republicans all over the country that they would do such things?
I almost sometimes have to stop reading about it because I just get so annoyed that this is actually being attempted. It seems so undemocratic. You have to accept the results of the election. And it's even more annoying. They're calling a special session. Special sessions should only be called during emergencies. You know, if you have a natural disaster and you need some aid for a local community, that's what you call a special session for. So I don't know why they're doing this. The only thing I can think of, and this is completely cynical, is that they've gerrymandered so badly that there are no consequences. As Scott was saying, Democrats won the popular vote 54-46, but Republicans still almost control 2/3 of the legislative seats. So I think Republicans are sitting there saying, yeah, it's completely cynical, but we're not going to pay for it. Even in a friendly Democratic year, they couldn't make us pay for it.
Okay, that's an interesting point. And maybe Republicans
cynical, but I think it might be accurate.
Yeah, you might be onto it. And I would say that is precisely the kind of small-minded and short-sighted things that politicians can find themselves doing. In other words, to say we're comfortable knowing that we're going to maintain our majorities in the state assembly, as they prefer to call it there in Wisconsin, but we're going to lose the governorship and we're going to lose 6 statewide races, right? And now they're going to lose even more than that. They must be calculating that either that it's not worth it, or they have so little, or that it is worth it rather, or they have so little to fight for. They have so little to pay attention to. It's just an amazing thing, especially in a week in which, you know, I brought this up on Monday, when I think we overly venerate our presidents when they die. So, yeah, I think it's a bit too much in this, George H.W. Bush season of mourning. I'm pleased that it's coming to an end. But it does make you look back on a time when there were states people inside the Republican and Democratic parties who would rise above. And the thing that worries me a little bit is I'm not entirely sure that every Democratic assembly or legislature around the country won't start to take a lesson from this. The people in Wisconsin, they learned this from the friends over in North Carolina. This went on 2 or 4 years ago in North Carolina. And now it's happening in Wisconsin, and there's plans in the next week or so for the legislature in Michigan to do the same, all Republican led. It worries me that this is now going to become an act of practice, the state of the art, that this is what people do. And I want to talk, try to talk any Democratic supporter to tell their legislator this kind of shenanigans doesn't count. It's beyond poor sportsmanship. It's poor statesmanship. And it requires leadership. Politics require a higher level of statesmanship, a higher level of consideration, not the lower level that you might get if all you're trying to do is, limit certain people. All right. Hey, Gary, over in Minneapolis, you've got some thoughts here that you think maybe this is rooted more deeply into Republicans not caring so much about voters.
I think they were showing to us that we don't care. We're just a rabble, like John Adams said, We don't matter. And they don't try to hide it anymore. Under Reagan and them, it was obvious to me, but most people didn't realize it because they voted in great numbers for him while he was breaking down the middle class and gave his Reaganomics. But their last power grab was when they got Trump in, and the Koch Koch network, all them billionaires in the Koch brothers network, there's a book about that, Dark Money. They got their big tax giveaway, and they're paying for it by the huge debt and deficits and by watering down our Medicare. I'm getting hit really hard with a generic. They're marking it way up. And it's just horrible what they're doing. And they privatize Medicare, and they're taking money out of public-funded Medicare to subsidize the advantage of private insurance plan. And so it just goes on and on. And so they're letting us see what they are, and then they're going to try and stay in office with their dirty tricks, voter ID, and stop people from voting, other tricks they use, gerrymandering if they can, all that, what they're doing in Wisconsin. And I just said enough right there, I think.
Gary, you know, I'm just afraid you're right. I'm like, I can't come up with any other way to explain why they behave this way that isn't somehow rooted into what you're saying is just a disregard for the well-being of the people that are in their state whom didn't vote for them. And this is the thing that I think is broken in our society.
Well, you know, that's extremist. Am I still in the air? That extremist right wing was always there. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt years ago warned about the extremist element in the Republican Party. She warned about it back then. Then you had Joe McCarthy coming along. So it's always been there, but now it's completely full blast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Thank you. I think you're onto this one too, Gary. And that I agree that these the extremists have always been in the parties. What's happening now, though, is that people who are elected to office are called to represent all the people of their district, their state, their country. That's who they're called to represent, not simply to represent the people who voted for them. And I think we have to start talking again about how our elected officials represent all of us when they take their oath of office, not how they only represent their constituency. This, frankly, is the difference between the kind of representative democracy that we have in the United States and what other countries have, where they have a parliamentary system, that we elect someone, and when the person has the endorsement of the party, that's all a party affiliation is an endorsement. It's not a legal requirement. There's no Republican or Democrat that is demanded to have to vote along with anyone else. Every legislator, every congressperson, every assemblywoman is their own person to speak on their own behalf. And it used to be that the way we talked about our public officials was once they become a public official, you know, they kind of have this burden to represent everyone. And I've felt it happen for the last 12 years or so that on both sides of the political spectrum, people talk more about how they have their own constituency that they represent. And you hear it often, especially in congressional candidates and congresspeople, because they have a much smaller constituency. And what they should be meaning is all the people that live in their congressional district or all the people that live in their house district, if an assembly or legislature. What they often mean are all the people who voted for them. And I hear this in politicians. They'll even say, well, you know, the people who sent me here, those are the people that I have to answer to. I beg to differ. Every elected official, you are called to represent every person that is in your district or in your purview, not only the people who voted for you. So the well-being has to be for all the people. And this is what Gary's bringing up. In this case, when the Republicans lose the election and then believe that they're then going to make decisions to only represent the people who would have or did vote for them or their candidate, that's when you realize that people start to that's when people realize that the system is rigged against them in a very particular way. Hey, Mark, if you'd hold on, because I see what you're going to talk about. And I want to give you the whole segment when we come back after the break. But I want to go to Phil in Golden Valley, because I think he's got a comment here about what happened in Wisconsin. Hey, Phil.
Well, this is just a continuation of Gary from Minneapolis said something about, oh, it happened after Reagan. No. When Reagan was first elected governor of California, he is famous for having said, why should we have to pay to educate all these kids just so they can demonstrate against what we're trying to do?
Right.
And so that was the start in California when he was governor in the 60s. The deterioration and the complete downgrading of the education system of the state colleges and universities in California. That was when Reagan was just his first elected office, when he was governor, he got talked into running by his father-in-law, who was a high muckety-muck with in finance or GE or something. He appeared in a bunch of ads for General Electric, all-electric houses. I remember seeing that in some magazine in the 60s.
Wow, really?
Insane. Anyway.
It's kind of a great idea, all-electric houses.
This started happening in the Republican Party in the 60s. Also, remember, Nixon was a traitor and stole the election from Humphrey by undermining the peace talks with the Vietnamese before 1968 election. And it's on record, on tape, of Johnson talking with Everett Dirksen saying, what this guy's doing is treason, and Everett Dirksen agreed with him. But they chose not to do anything. Well, this line of Republican treason started in the 60s, and it has not stopped yet. We have a president now who swore his oath of office, and he owned a piece of property he was making money off of foreign dignitaries renting rooms from him in that hotel, which was the former, I believe, the old post office building.
He still doesn't own it.
Long continuation. It's been going on for 50 years.
I think you're right, Phil, and we need the future to be different than the past, which I think our friend Mark Aaron Fridley's got a little idea about the kind of awakenings that are going to be needed. So we're going to get to that here after the break on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years, so if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Oldie, what are you going to get Linda this year?
Well, Sven, how about a t-shirt from Northern Sun?
Oh, yeah. They have those funny ones and political ones, too.
Yeah, and don't you know how Linda feels about that president?
Yeah, I don't care for him so much either.
Sven and Oldie get their shirts, stickers, and magnets from Northern Sun. You should, too, don't you know?
Visit Northern Sun in Minneapolis on East Lake Street, or online at northernsun.com.
Face down the dirt of this hard land. Hey, 10 minutes to 5 here on AM 950. Chris Boyce, so I'd like to badge it in. And really glad that Mark called. Hey, Mark, thanks for your little message today. And I hope that's what you're calling to talk about, that there's a larger call of what we need in this this day that we live in. And it's a reminder during the week of tributes and mourning for George H.W. Bush. That we, as you're suggesting, we need something more than a time of mourning. We need a day of awakening.
Yeah, and, you know, thank God for you guys for bringing this up, because this tribalism has got to stop. A politician's number one job is to uphold the Constitution, not to do what's right for the best of their particular party, whether it's a fascist Republican or a fascist Democrat. They're supposed to serve everyone, and they're not doing it. This was a coup. This has got to be illegal on its face, and something has to be done. With respect to what is happening today in the call for an awakening, what's happened in France this past week with the protest is the start of what's coming to Europe.
Yeah, talk a bit about that, Mark, because I don't think everyone's kept up on that. There's, you know, first of all, after the holidays and then all this other news and the stuff going on with the Trump administration, it's easy to miss. Are you referring to the riots in the streets in France?
Right.
Around the gas tax?
But you have to go back to the Arab Spring. Okay, what's coming now is the European Spring, which is going to lead to the American Spring.
And
it's revolution, and that's what's coming. But what people have to understand is that we need to hold our own people accountable. And Jimmy Carter said, and I have a lot of respect for Jimmy Carter, and I remember something, you know, we have to talk about Jimmy Carter, but Jimmy Carter said, if you don't want your tax dollars to help the poor, then stop saying you want a country based on Christian values, because you don't. And we have to look at, why are we honoring what we all know is a decades-old war criminal? These imperialist wars that have, he set the stage for, our state of perpetual war for 25 years because of this man's policies, and going back to Reagan. And coming full circle in all of this, I have to, one thing we need to talk about, and this is the cause for why we have such a problem, is CNN fired Mark Lamont Hill. He's an African-American professor. He is extremely brilliant, and he's the most honest person on CNN. He went to the UN and gave a speech promoting the rights of Palestinians in Israel, and he was fired for speaking the truth. Now, we are supposed to believe Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and CNN and Fox, how honorable and, you know, George W. Bush, H.W. Bush was. That's denying the facts as we know them, and we can no longer continue to do that. If you look at what he did in 1991 in Kuwait to kick all of this off, and what happened in Kuwait and the atrocities that he's been involved with, he most definitely was involved in the assassination of JFK, his involvement in the CIA. But the perpetuation.
I've never heard that one. I've never heard that when Bush, you're talking about George H.W. Bush, when he was involved in his work with the CIA.
Yeah, there were three people that went to the Warren Commission that admitted in sworn testimony that they didn't recall where they were the day Kennedy was shot. The first was Richard Nixon. The second was a guy who admitted being a participant in the murder, and that was E. Howard Hunt. And the third was George H.W. Bush. And there's a picture of him standing in front of the Book Depository building the day Kennedy got shot. But, you know, that's not the type of information that people are going to have access to.
I should say not. I haven't heard that myself.
I'll send you the picture, you know, but, you know, if we're so,
cause that didn't come up today in the funeral, you know, I don't know if you know, at the National Cathedral, that nobody brought that up.
Well, you know, we praised John McCain, you know,
I know. I know.
And 20 years from now, are we going to say what a wonderful guy Donald Trump was? I mean, you know, we can no longer, we have to choose, and it's because media like CNN will terminate people that go away from the optics and the narratives and the storylines that they want to promote. If you're CNN, and we're petitioning CNN, and we're trying to get Mark LaMontella's job back, but if you're censoring somebody or firing, terminating somebody for something he said at the United Nations promoting human rights, that means that, you know, there's information there that the people need to seek out. People's default setting is typically going to be subjected to their selective reality. They need to, you know, they need to lift the cover. They need to, what I call keep educating yourself. Do your own research. I mean, I challenge your question to anybody who states as fact what he doesn't know to be as a fact. And to hear, you know, we're supposed to be this guy on this day in light of what we know his past has been. Joe Biden on Veterans Day, which we should rename Remembrance Day or Armistice Day, gave a Medal of Honor, a Liberty Medal, to George Bush for his work with veterans. How do we do that? In broad daylight, we award W. Bush for honoring veterans and working with veterans, you know, that died on his watch. You know, that's when the problems with the VA started.
So yeah, well, yeah.
We need forums.
Thank you,
like
Mark.
This station.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think so. I think so too. And do send me that stuff about Bush. That's actually terribly interesting to me. So I would like to see that. And I do think it raises an interesting relationship that we have with our, especially our federal elected officials, because at one level, things that our federal government does, especially the war side of our federal government, are inexplicable, and there's no way to apologize for them. We've had a long history of war and warmongering and war profiteering from the root of this country that birthed itself in an armed rebellion, right? It's built in. And we have not done the work necessary as a society and as individuals to overcome the myth of redemptive violence. We continue to tell ourselves and continue to tell other people that violence is what keeps us safe. The only reason we're not being overrun by criminals is because we arm our police force. The only reason that we don't have, that we're not all speaking Russian is because we keep an army and nuclear weapons and the threat of war. And we believe these narratives to be true. So then when someone becomes the president, they're caught up in an entire system that is going to demand of them that they do things, that they act in ways in secrecy and in harm to people around the world and very often to the planet. And Mark, I appreciate that thing you sent the yesterday, where that young girl, I think in France or in Sweden, said to the UN, we're not asking you for anything. We're putting you on notice that there's a great awakening happening in the world, and there's going to be some things coming in. And that notion that it's time for people to wake up. You know, there's this old commercial during the Reagan years, during his reelection, called "It's Morning in America Again." I hope it's morning in America because people are waking up, not because, you know, there's some sort of a new beginning quite yet, but because people are opening their eyes and are paying attention. A lot of work to do. A lot of things are going well. And a lot of things are really in need of some transition. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Glad you're part of it with all of us. We'll talk to you in a couple of days. But see you here tomorrow.